Welcome this morning to worship at Prairie Street Mennonite Church. Bienvenidos y bienvenidas esta mañana a este servicio de adoración aquí a la Iglesia Mennonita Prairie Street. We gather here to worship our Creator who lives and breathes among us. And especially this morning, we gather to offer our deepest gratitude to our departing pastor, Frances Ringenberg, and to her husband, Ron. Whether you are here in Elkhart with us this morning or joining in via recording, we welcome you in the name of Jesus. Let us begin by joining together in song. If you would rise as you are able and turn and sing the story, our purple book, to number 75, Hari Nijina.
We'll start in English, then alternate after that.
The church is like a forest, and for this we give thanks. We are all free to grow here, and for this we give thanks. All of us are growing here, delighting in the light of the love of God, smiling at the power of our freedoms, and for this we give thanks. Some of us grow like hedges and bushes, active at the edge, offering food and shelter to the birds, the bugs, and the bunnies. Some of us grow like mighty tall trees, hardwood, standing through the storms, showing us how to grow strong in the light. And some of us grow like fungus, disciples in the dark, mycelium in the mystery, touching all the deepest roots, connecting all the dots. And some of us are fallen, logs lingering on the ground, sinking into the richness of the dirt, remembered long by those who knew them. And for all of this, we give thanks. The church is a forest gathered by the river Jesus Christ that shows us the way to the ocean of God's steadfast love. The Spirit rains and waters the ground, nourishing our roots, We are here as a forest with room for every wanderer, a place for every pilgrim passing through. There is room for all to stay and put down roots. God delights whenever we do, and for this we give thanks. Friends, this is a day that our Creator has created. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. Let us worship together this morning. And let us begin in this moment by praying together. Let us pray. God, we love you. You are the source of this community of disciples. We give you thanks for our lives and the love that is possible between us. Today, we expect a downpour of your Spirit. We will sing in the rain, and our roots will drink deeply, and then we will keep growing so our fruit can feed the hungry, our leaves can heal the nations, and our seeds can spread the word. Amen.
Please turn in the blue hymnal to number 99. We praise thee, O God. And those who are able, please stand. In the Purple Sing the Story book, number 49, I will come to you in the silence.
We come now to our time of confession. If you would, please join me in prayer. Creator, hear our prayer. Eternal God, have mercy. Sometimes we believe that we are lost. Sometimes we believe that we are not growing, but failing. Sometimes we believe that you have stopped creating us. And sometimes we believe that we cannot be worthy of any blessing. Sometimes we believe there is no power in the cross. Sometimes we believe that we do not have a place in the church. Sometimes we believe that there is nothing more for us to do. God, have mercy. Come to us quickly. Amen. Friends, please now rise as you are able to hear these words of assurance. In a forest, if you listen, then you'll never quite be lost. There's always a drip or a trickle, the babble of a brook. The water will show you the way. Take courage, take a step. Your body will find the river, and you will be at home again, safe in the bosom of the land. God is always moving like a river in our midst, and if we listen, we will never be thirsty again. Amen. And now let us share the peace that that river offers us. Let's share that peace with the world, saying, "The peace of Christ be with you," or "La paz de Cristo esté contigo," and responding, "And also with you," or "Y contigo también." Let us share Christ's peace with the world. If you're feeling like a child this morning, we're going to keep this party going. Eleanor has a word for you in the front. So anybody who looks or feels like a child this morning, come on to the front.
Good morning, everybody. It's lovely to see you. I'm going to pass the basket for our offering and just put with your coins in there. Okay, very good. Thank you. Did you want to put something in there? Okay, fine. Yes, now today we're thinking about saying thank you. And I want to tell you a story that happened to me when I was a little girl. I lived just down the street here on Prairie Street. And we lived next door to the Bixlers. Now the Bixlers had a big garden. And Mr. Bixler grew vegetables and especially tomatoes. It was very good. Mrs. Bixler's kitchen window looked right out over our backyard where I played every day. One day, Mrs. Bixler called to me out the window and she said, "Eleanor, come here, I've got something for you." So I went to her teaching. She knows our name, and she's very precious to us. So let's say thank you to her again. Say thank you again. Let's pray. Gracious God, we thank you for Frances and for all that she has meant to us. And we thank you for these children, each one. We pray you'll be with them in this week. Bless them and give them a lovely week. In the name of Jesus, amen.
Today's scripture comes to us from Ephesians chapter 4, verses 11 through 16. The gifts Christ gave were that some would be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors and teachers, to equip the saints for the work of ministry, for building up the body of Christ, until all of us come to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to maturity, to the measure of the full stature of Christ. We must no longer be children, tossed to and fro and blown about by every wind of doctrine, by people's trickery, by their craftiness in deceitful scheming. But speaking the truth in love, we must grow up in every way into him who is the head, into Christ, from whom the whole body, joined and knit together by every ligament with which it is equipped, as each part is working properly, promotes the body's growth in building itself up in love.
La lectura de hoy viene del libro de los Efesios, capítulo 4, versículo 11 al 16. Y él mismo constituyó a unos apóstoles, a otros profetas, a otros evangelistas, a otros pastores y maestros, a fin de perfeccionar a los santos para la obra del ministerio, para la edificación del cuerpo de Cristo, hasta que todos lleguemos a estar unidos por la fe y el conocimiento del Hijo de Dios, hasta que lleguemos a ser un hombre perfecto, a la medida de la estatura de la plenitud de Cristo, para que ya no seamos niños fluctuantes, arrastrados para todos lados por todo viento de doctrina, por los engaños de aquellos que emplean con astucia artimañas engañosas, sino para que profesemos la verdad en amor y crezcamos en todo en Cristo, que es la cabeza, de quien todo el cuerpo, bien concertado y unido entre sí por todas las coyunturas que se ayudan mutuamente, según la actividad propia de cada miembro, recibe su crecimiento para ir edificándose en amor.
And our second reading this morning, from 1 Timothy 5:17-22. Let the elders who rule well be considered worthy of a double honor, especially those who labor in preaching and teaching. For the scripture says, you shall not muzzle an ox while it is treading out the grain, and the laborer deserves to be paid. Never accept any accusation against an elder, except on the evidence of two or three witnesses. As for those who persist in sin, rebuke them in the presence of all, so that the rest may also stand in fear. In the presence of God and of Christ Jesus and of the elect angels, I warn you to keep these instructions without prejudice, doing nothing on the basis of partiality. Do not ordain anyone hastily, and do not participate in the sins of others. Keep yourself pure.
La segunda lectura proviene del primer libro de Timoteo, capítulo 5, versículo 17 al 22. Los ancianos que gobiernan bien deben considerarse dignos de doble honor, mayormente los que se dedican a predicar y enseñar. Pues la Escritura dice, no pondrás bozal al buey que trilla, y digno es el obrero de su salario. No admitas ninguna acusación contra un anciano, a menos que haya dos o tres testigos a los que persisten en pecar. Repréndelos delante de todos para que los demás también teman. Te encarezco delante de Dios y del Señor Jesucristo y de sus ángeles escogidos que guardes estas cosas sin prejuicios y sin actuar con parcialidad. No impongas a nadie las manos con ligereza ni participes en pecados ajenos, consérvate puro.
The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Palabra del Señor.
Gracias a Dios. Our preacher this morning is Richard Kaufman. I'll invite him to the podium. This is Richard Kaufman. Richard and his wife Suzanne live in Goshen, where they are members at College Mennonite Church. Richard recently completed a term as interim pastor at Lombard Mennonite Church, where they had been members for 16 years, and where they first met Francis and Ron. Richard is here this morning representing Indiana-Michigan Conference as our pastoral search guide. He's assisting our search committee looking for a new pastor here. Let's pray for Richard. God, may the words of Richard's mouth and the meditations of all our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen.
Thanks, Josh. It is a great honor for me to be here this morning on this occasion when you are recognizing Francis as one of your pastors. I am pleased to be able to be a part of this tribute and to thank Francis for her friendship to me over the years. One thing very few people know is that a few years ago I was working on a book, and several times I just about quit. I thought, I'm not gonna finish this. And there were two people in my life. One was another writer, published author, and the other one was Francis, who periodically would ask me, how's that book coming? Now, it did not become a runaway bestseller, but I did get the book completed and published, and I have a great sense of satisfaction. So thank you for that, Francis. Several years ago, I was sitting on a rather small beach in the Florida Keys with my son and his pastor. And in the course of the conversation, the pastor looked at me in all earnestness and asked, has there ever been a tougher time to be a pastor? Now, usually when people suggest that we are living in the worst of all possible times, I'm inclined to say that we either don't know much history or we've forgotten our history. But I knew the background of this question. This pastor was under enormous amount of stress and pressure, because there were some people in his congregation who wanted the congregation desperately to leave conference and leave the Mennonite Church USA. And he had drawn a line in the sand and said, I don't want to go there. After thinking a bit, I said to him, well, there probably has not been a tougher time to be a pastor in our lifetime. There is a story in Numbers 11, which has always intrigued me. Story about Moses, and I think Moses could very much have identified with the stress that this dear pastor was feeling and sensing. The people were complaining about the diet they were given. Day after day, they had to eat that manna. And they looked back to Egypt and they wished that they could have the fish and the other things that they ate in former years. And so they started complaining and belly aching. And God got upset with them. And Moses got stressed out. And he said to God, how can I handle these people? And God suggested to him that he appoint 70 leaders, 70 persons to be his assistant to help lead the people, which he did. And he placed on each one of them a bit of his own spirit. And in response, they started speaking ecstatically. We could say they started speaking in tongues, only for a brief time, and then they stopped, except for two. Two continued on speaking this way. And a young lad came to Moses and said, "Do you know Eldad and Medad? They are continuing to speak ecstatically." And Joshua, Moses' sidekick, his assistant, he said, "You have to stop them, because you cannot have anyone challenging your authority, your leadership, because that will lead to factionalism in the camp." And Moses' response was, "Do you think I'm jealous because of these two persons continuing to speak ecstatically? I wish that all of God's people had God's Spirit poured out upon them so that everyone, not just these two, would be prophets." Now, I think Moses illustrated in a good way something that people in family systems theory maintain, and that is our leaders should be the most emotionally mature people in the room. We could add, they should also be the most spiritually mature people in the room. And I'm sure we can all think of at least one example in which that's not true, to great detriment of the people. But Moses demonstrated maturity, the certain sense that God was with him, God was leading him, and he didn't need to be challenged, feel vulnerable to these other would-be leaders in the camp. And I think also from our standpoint, looking back, we could say that Moses was foreshadowing that time when at Pentecost, the Spirit indeed was poured out on all the people, and all the people received the Spirit, and they were able to hear each other in whatever tongue was their native tongue. I think it stands the test of history to say that renewal of the church oftentimes is either accompanied by or caused by a great unleashing of the gifts of the laity, of the people, of God, the whole people, having the sense that the Spirit is with them, calling them to a vision that they commit themselves to. I've called my sermon this morning The Ecology of a Congregation, and this is my characterization of the Ephesians 4 passage, which was read to us. And because Paul in this passage uses body language, I might well have called it the anatomy of the congregation or the physiology of the congregation. But ecology is so much a part of our consciousness right now, a part of our vocabulary, that I chose to use ecology, the ecology of a congregation. Because ecology has to do with a system. It has to do with the individual parts of a system, how they work together, and how they engage their environment, and how they contribute to the whole or don't contribute to the whole. And we know from our own ecosystem that something seriously is out of whack. Among other things, there is way too much CO2 in the environment, and that is leading to very detrimental consequences. When one thing in a system is out of whack, the whole system is out of whack. The whole system suffers. In Paul's ecology of the congregation in Ephesians, all have been given the Spirit. All have been given gifts of ministry, everyone. And yet some were especially gifted. They were called to positions as prophets, and preachers, and teachers, and evangelists, and so forth. And these special gifts, these leadership gifts, were for the equipping of all the saints, for everyone. It's interesting that the word equipping here can also be used as a word for setting a broken bone. And I think Paul's point in using this word in his context here is that equipping of the saints means helping align everybody in the body of Christ with the purpose of Christ in the world and with God's call to us to be servants within the world. So these gifts were for the equipping of the saints, for building up the people in faith in Jesus Christ, for serving the world, and for bringing about unity within the body of Christ through love, a unity without uniformity. I love what Bishop David Thomas of Lancaster Conference was supposed to have said. I didn't hear him say it. He said, "We don't all need to think alike, but we need to think together." In a fractious and polarized world, the unity of the church could be and should be our greatest gift to the world. Perhaps the unity of the church in the world is our primary, our principal mission as a church. And yet, too often, we are divided as a church. I mean, just look at what's happened in Indiana-Michigan Conference and other MCUSA conferences over the last number of years. Gerhard Lohfink, a German Catholic New Testament scholar, says, "The church's deepest wound is disunity." Our deepest wound as a church is disunity. So what's the antidote? What can bring about our healing? Well, it's putting Christ at the center of our corporate life, putting aside our own selfish desires, looking to Christ and allowing Christ to draw us together, to have these ligaments grow that make us one, that bring us together. There are three questions that I like to ask of any congregation, which I think speak a great deal to the character of any particular congregation. The first is your congregation what I call a lean-in congregation or a pushback congregation? In other words, do people generally listen well to each other and respect each other's differences and try to take them into account? Or rather, is there a lot of contentiousness and squabbling and conflict? Second question, is this congregation a nurturing congregation or a missional congregation? These are continual. You know, you can place yourself somewhere on the spectrum, as it were. And I'm not saying there's any one right answer. And in fact, at different times in the life of a congregation, rightfully, you'll be at some different place on a continuum. Question here, is your focus largely inward on yourselves and meeting your own needs, or is it outward on the world, trying to meet the needs of the community surrounding you and the broader world? And the third continuum, which I think is most apt for this Ephesians text, is your congregation laity-centered, people-centered, or is it pastor-centered? Or, as I think it should be, is there good synchronicity between leadership and laity? Are the gifts of both brought together to create a common sense of vision and mission for your world to which you corporately commit yourselves? I'd like to come back to my beginning point and put a different twist on it. My opening anecdote suggested that pastoring can be a very difficult calling, vocation. And in times, it is indeed. And I've heard many pastors' stories of woe, and sometimes congregations' stories of woe about pastors. Yes, pastoring can be challenging in both senses of that term, but it's a noble profession, worthy of our honor. Things to be said in favor of pastoring. For example, no 2 days are alike if you're a pastor. Pastors shouldn't get bored. Oh yes, there's a certain rhythm in pastoring, but still, each day brings some surprises. Pastors get to walk alongside people during the significant transitions in their lives, birth, baptism, marriage, choice of vocations, sickness, crises, death. I think most pastors would say that there's nothing more satisfying than walking along someone who's dying. They know they're dying, and they're no longer playing the games that we humans tend to play. They're getting real, in other words. It's a holy moment. It's a special time. And get this, pastors get paid to study and to read and to pray and meditate. They get to serve as resident theologians in a congregation and spiritual director. It is a great and noble task to stand before a congregation each week and attempt to speak a word from the Lord for that congregation in that time and in that place. I want to conclude speaking a few words to you as the conference's pastoral search guide assigned to your congregation as you think about new pastoral leadership. You are going through a transition. You have challenges ahead of you, of which finding new pastoral leadership is only one. That may be the least of the challenges that you have. And I know that transition times can be anxious times. And oftentimes, when we are anxious, the best in us does not come forth. Sometimes we react to something rather than thoughtfully and discerningly respond to situations. And that reptilian part of our brain seems to kick in. So my thoughts about this transition. First of all, transitions, good transitions, demand good endings. And you're working at this morning in terms of honoring Frances' ministry here, thanking her for her ministry, and then letting her go. I think all of you, in one way or another, will probably need to do some mourning, and that's okay. And we have to respect the fact that each of us tends to mourn in different ways and with different timetables. I know this past year when I was at Lombard, when I got there, there was a lot of mourning about the loss of their pastoral leaders. And we did some things to work at that. And in a couple of months, there were some people who were telling me, I'm just ready to move on. And I knew there were still some people in deep pain. That's the reality of life. But please, if you do nothing else, show your appreciation to Frances. And tell her specific things that you appreciate her about her. And then I would suggest that you look to the Spirit for guidance for your future. Trust the Spirit. That's the antidote to anxiety. And trusting the future of this congregation to the Spirit, and then prayerfully and patiently wait and listen for the Spirit's guidance. Surely each one of you should be free to share your hopes and dreams for this congregation with the congregation. That's part of what it means to be a member of the body. But be careful how you do that, because I think there's a tendency for us to want to remake our congregation or any group that we're a part of into our own image. We want this church to fulfill our own dreams of the quote-unquote ideal church as if there is such a thing. The evangelical Quakers at George Fox University have some good advice here. They say that when you share ideas with your congregation, treat them as gifts to the congregation, which means you give them to the congregation, you turn them over to the congregation. And like any gift, once you give it, it's no longer yours. You have no control over it. It's up to the receiver of the gift to discern what to do with it. And keep this in mind. The future of this congregation isn't about what you personally wish for it, or even what you in the aggregate as a congregation wish for it. It is about the Spirit. What the Spirit of God wants for you in this next phase of your congregational life. If you truly seek the Spirit's leading for your congregation, you will surely find it.
Please turn the blue Prairie Street Sings folder to number 54. I saw a river flowing.
We're going to continue in this moment by turning our attention to the page in your bulletin, our Litany of Release. We're going to read this litany together, in a sense, to seal this chapter of Francis's life. En este momento vamos a dirigir la nuestra atención a esta hoja dentro de su boletín. Y vamos a leerla en voz inglesa para como sellar este capítulo de la vida de Francis. Así vamos a leer en voz inglesa, pero se puede seguir al revés en español. All right.
I thank you,
Prairie Street Mennonite Church for the love and support you have shown me. While I have ministered among you, I am grateful for the ways my leadership has been accepted, and I ask forgiveness for the mistakes I have made. And as I leave, I carry with me all that I have learned here.
We receive your thankfulness, offer forgiveness, and release you as our pastor to where God will call you next. We express our gratitude for your time among us. We ask your forgiveness for our mistakes, your influence on our lives, our faith and faithfulness will not leave with your departure.
I accept your gratitude and your forgiveness, and I forgive and release you, trusting that both our time together and our parting are blessed by God. I release you from turning to me and depending on me, and I offer my blessing for your continuing life of faith here, and pray for you as you discern the way forward, serving and loving this community.
God, we ask you to bless the work of Jesus that Francis and Prairie Street have done together in these past years. And we ask that both Francis and Prairie Street might continue that work, joyfully following Jesus in a spirit of celebration, hospitality, and caring. Let us all pray. Eternal God, your steadfast love for us is from everlasting to everlasting. We thank you for cherished memories. We commend one another into your care as we move in new directions. May the love of Christ surround us. May the light of Christ show us the way. May the peace of Christ be with us on this day and always. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen.
Francis, in the time you have been with us, you have shared your love of beauty in your ability to paint images with words in leading worship and in sermons. Your use of colored cloth and the creation of bouquets for the communion table, and many, many more. Your attention to these details helps people experience worship. They create a stage for God to enter our lives and our life together. You have a positive and creative perspective. In doing that, you bring hope and a sense of a better future. You provide lots of ideas for us to consider. You find ways to bring things different people are doing into the larger context of worship together. You have helped many people here, especially those of us who struggle with daily difficulties. Your support have made our lives better. In your ordination service, the theme you chose was a river. This platter could represent your time with us at Prairie Street as a pool in that river. And now the river flows on. Thank you for your years of ministry here. Your work and life among us will not be forgotten. We will miss you.
Yes, thank you.
And we welcome you and Ron back with open arms as soon as you're able. Thank you.
Thank you, Janice, and thank you, Prairie Street Mennonite Church. I feel like I am holding here a beautiful pool of experience and blessing, and it has been touched and created by Janice on behalf of the hands of this congregation and will be a treasure in an artistic and organic way to carry these memories. An image of life cradling beauty.
Join me in prayer. Lord, we ask you to help us find a way to follow you, to see you. And we pray for the peace of the world. I pray for President of the United States, Donald Trump, all presidents from all nations, for the newborns, for the people passed away, for the women are pregnant, for those who love, for all humans. Señor, te pedimos por la paz del mundo, especialmente por el presidente de los Estados Unidos, Donald Trump, y todos los presidentes de las naciones. Te pedimos nos concedas andar en tus caminos, conocerte y seguirte. Te pedimos por los que nacen, por los que mueren, por todos los humanos y todos los que amamos. In the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord, amen.
Our benediction this morning will be offered by Bob and Mag Richard Smith, who are important friends to Francis. Bob serves as our congregational coach through Indiana-Michigan Conference, and Mag prayed Francis into the possibility of being a pastor. It's a joy to have them here.
This blessing is for Francis. Beloved Francis, you have run the race with perseverance and generosity of heart, but you have not finished the course. While your pastoral role at Prairie Street is ending, your call is ongoing. So keep on keeping on, Francis. Keep on uncovering beauty wherever you look, seeking the good in others, creating enticing celebrations, greasing the wheels of community, working for justice, and incarnating the love of Jesus. With every new door, there will be more of God. So may the God of all peace, the Jesus of self-giving, redeeming love, and the spirit that keeps concocting new wines and blowing fresh winds and creating burning, passionate fires. God, you're going out and you're coming in from this day on and forevermore. Amen.
For all the goodness that has happened in this place, we say thanks be to God. And for all the goodness that is now happening and will happen in the future, we say yes. So, Prairie Street Mennonite Church, may God bless you and keep you. May God give you the grace never to sell yourselves short. May God give you the grace to risk things both large and small for the reign of God. And may God give you the grace to remember that the world is now too dangerous for anything but truth, and too small for anything but love. So may God take your minds and think through them. May God take your lips and speak through them. And may God take your hearts and set them on fire through the Creator, the Redeemer, and the Sustainer of all that is. Amen. And go in peace. Thank you.